Live from the Hanania studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express.
Davis rolling out left, looks across the middle, intercepted. The defensive back, Blackman. Will Blackman, stepped right in front of the pass and took it away at about the 36-yard line in Falcons territory.
We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, here we go. Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton, Mark Brunel, Tony Baselli, and Jeff Loggeman. You know the number, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Where do we start?
I didn't know you were going to make it to the show or not with the pizza in your mouth.
Wow. Dude, I only had 3 minutes from the end of the Gus Bradley show to right now to eat it. It's delicious.
Oh, it's tasty.
Very good.
Tasty.
About time you bring something in here.
Whoa.
Whatever.
All right, where do you want to start? Obviously, the quarterback issue is the number one issue huge this week with the thumb. So, Mark, get ready to get besieged.
I get to talk.
I get to talk.
We'll see about that. I think the quarterback is obviously huge. I think Mercedes Lewis and the calf and him not practicing today is another giant story. The lack of depth at wide receiver, really only three guys on the roster who know what's going on or know the schemes, what they're trying to do. I mean, those right there.
Tight end. I mean, if Mercedes can't play, you're looking at basically one guy that has a knowledge of the system and pass that to two new guys. But let's start with the quarterback. Mark.
Yes.
Have you ever broken a thumb and had to play with a hairline fracture in your throwing thumb?
Not a throwing thumb. Index finger. Index finger, yeah.
How much did that – how? I mean, I've always said, hey, look, a digit on a quarterback's throwing hand is affecting a precision instrument, and it can't be good.
No, it's not good, and it's about – it's about pain threshold, and it's about grip, mostly grip. You know, once the game gets started, as you guys know, you forget about the pain. You just play. But if he can't grip that ball, then there's problems. And he needs, you know, I'm sure they're looking at tape and different options, glove and all that stuff. But, you know, if you're not used to throwing with tape, which he's not, you're not used to throwing with a glove, which he's not, then, you know, you want as much surface area of the hand on that ball. And so it'll be interesting to see how he does.
How did your index finger – affect your accuracy?
You know,
well, it wasn't that accurate beforehand,
well,
so a lot.
Well, wow. I'd argue with that. It affects it. It affects it. And you're just, it's tough to be as accurate. And especially if you're thinking about it, if it's hurting a little bit, and you didn't have a lot of practice time on it. Now, if you have practice time on it, and you've got a couple, and Blaine hasn't had a lot of reps this week.
That's what I brought up with Tony, with you, on Monday night with you and Brian. Because I'm sitting there thinking, I say, okay, he's started gripping a ball over the weekend. And then now with the CBA rules, you know, there's a limited amount of time that you actually can practice in pads and such. And so he's got, you know, a very short practice that he had on Monday. He had one yesterday. He had one today. And then, you know, Fridays are typically a glorified walkthrough. That's not a whole lot of time for a young quarterback to try to get back into the swing of things.
The last thing he needs to be thinking about is that thumb. He's thinking about that thumb. He's thinking about the wrong things.
Well, when you had your index finger, how much were you thinking about it? How much did it really end up affecting you? I mean, you played the game. I don't remember which game it was. I mean, how did you play and how did it affect you?
I mean, I played fine. You know, again, you know, it's everyone's different, but when the game starts, you have to find a way to get
it
done.
I know thumb and index finger, thumb's probably harder to play with.
I would say the thumb is tougher.
Yep. But, I mean, once you got going, did it affect your accuracy? Did it affect what you
tried
to
do? It did a little bit. Yeah, it did a little bit. You had to be smart with the throws you made. I mean, the further you throw it down the field, you know, the more, you know,
the more grip it requires, right?
The more grip it requires. And so we were smart early completions, some shorter things. And as the game progressed, you get more comfortable. It feels a little bit better, and you're fine. My game with that, you know, we were smart with it. I mean, we didn't come out in the first half throw, you know, 28 times.
The thumb has got to be worse because, I mean, if you hold your hand out like you're gripping a football and you've got four fingers on one side to help you grip that side, and on the other side you've got one and that's the thumb.
It's got to be tough. I mean, it's got to be tough. It is, without question, a concern.
Well, one of the issues is grip strength, and we only can report on what happens in the first 30 minutes of practice. Did he wear a glove? Is he going to wear a glove?
In practice today that we could see, which was only the first 30 minutes, he had the old figure eight tape job.
Sure.
Looked like on the thumb. No glove. But you know, I go back to, I think it was last year, and I might be wrong on this, but Peyton Manning had grip issues when he was coming back from his neck injury. And look, totally different injuries, but it still is coming down to grip.
Sure.
And I thought, Peyton, did he wear a glove early on to help him with that grip?
I believe he did go with the glove, yes.
I thought he did.
And Tom Brady's worn a glove.
Yeah.
On his throwing hand also. So, I mean,
some guys just,
it's the glove.
Some guys prefer the glove. And some guys, obviously, nobody grew up throwing with a glove. I mean, maybe
young
kids are now. No. Even in the cold weather or any bad conditions, I couldn't do it.
Had to feel the ball.
That's just, you know, throw a ball your whole life, and all of a sudden you can't just put a glove on all of a sudden.
Are they pushing it to get him back for this week? I mean, with a young quarterback that you want to find out whether he's your guy or not, is getting him in the lineup that important for week one? With an injury like this on his throwing hand. I mean,
I would rather see, you know, him be chomping at the bit. You know, and ripping and raring to go when he comes back, as opposed to, well, you know, we'll kind of see how it goes.
No, I think he's already
with a young player.
I think he's already wanting to get back there and is chomping.
He's chomping at the bit. Yeah. But you know what I mean, though. I mean, I want him to be angry because he's being held back and hungry to take over and run the show.
So instead of talking about a process, which is what he's talked about all week long, you want him to go, I don't care whether it's a process or not, I'm playing.
Yeah.
Right. And that would be,
his attitude. Well, we don't know what the attitude is.
It could be. I mean, in today's NFL, coaches don't want players saying that.
They
don't want them to declare whether they're playing or not.
Right.
I would just like to see more than, you know, 3 days of practice to work back into that flow after having missed a couple weeks with a young quarterback.
The question is Blaine Gabbert with a thumb better than Chad Henne 100% healthy?
And that's the question that Jed Fish and Gus Bradley got to answer.
That's it.
Which, you know, hey. Here's the reality. We don't get to see the whole practice.
No.
So we don't know.
Nope.
You know, we're speculating here. You know.
It's great to talk about, but his thumb could be just fine. And it may not maybe it's not a question or hasn't been a question for them for the last 48 hours, 72 hours. We don't know. But it's obviously going to be talked about.
355 NFL 1-800-355-6351. So you guys you've seen Kansas City.
Yes.
I don't know whether you've had a chance to watch Kansas City because you got to get used to games
seen,
on Alachua.
I've seen too much.
Santa Fe, Alachua.
Big game.
It's on.
So can they beat the Chiefs with Chad Henne?
I think that this team can beat the Chiefs because from watching Kansas City in the preseason, their offense did not look like it was world beaters. I think defensively they're pretty good. They got a lot of veterans. They got Pro Bowlers on that side. But offensively, they just didn't seem to find a groove. You know, and is Andy Reid the best thing in the world for a back like Jamaal Charles? I don't think so.
Well, it depends. Andy Reid's a smart coach. I mean, he's going to use.
Is he?
He's going to use his weapons. He went to four NFC title
championship games.
Yeah. He went to a Super Bowl. Yeah, I think he's a pretty good coach, Jeff. I would say he's a pretty smart.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but you know, Andy was known for doing it the Andy Reid way
because he had the personnel to do that. You went to four NFC title games.
No, I know what you mean.
He
also got fired.
They all get fired sooner or later.
Everyone gets fired. High school coaches get fired.
They all get fired. Mark's on his way out already.
1-0.
Go Eagles.
I mean, listen, Jamaal Charles, you know, to your point, Jeff, it was a run first offense, zone scheme, give the ball to Jamaal Charles 25, 30 times a game, whatever it was. Andy Reid is a pass-first coach. Now, I got to believe Andy Reid looks at the roster. He has Dwayne Bowe, who is a big-time receiver. After that, a lot of question marks. Anthony Fasano doesn't really scare you as a pass-catching tight end.
Good blocker.
And you do have Jamaal Charles. So my guess is we're going to see a heavy dose of Jamaal Charles come out on Sunday. I mean, that's the strength of their team still. Now, obviously, Andy's going to evolve to what Andy wants to be when he gets the personnel. I think Andy Reid is a good coach, a smart enough coach that he's going to coach to what he has right now.
These guys gave up, the Jaguars, 141 per game on the ground last year. Are they ready? Are they better? Are they ready to stop the run this year?
I think they're going to be drastically better at stopping the run this year.
Just from a gap control standpoint.
For a couple reasons. One, I think the personnel's better. Big Roy Miller in the middle, I call him the world's strongest man, I think is a very, very good nose tackle. Send Eric Marks helps. But also because of the style that they play where they insert that safety in the box area a bunch to provide that extra run defender, you know, kind of leaves your corners a little delinquent. But, you know, that's the way they play, and I think it's going to get better.
I mean, just by the fact that you have Sendarek Marks and Roy Miller inside and then you move Tyson outside, you're going to be better against the run. I mean, you basically have three large human beings on first and second down in run situations. So that with eighth man in the box, I do think I agree with Jeff. They're going to be better against the run. It's still going to be a good test. I mean, this is not a great offensive line. It's very inexperienced. Besides Brandon Albert, who is a very good left tackle, the other four guys, their average age is 23 and a half years old.
Center's
they're,
good.
They're very young, though. This will be Rodney Hudson's first full-time starting season. They got another guy, left guard Jeff Allen. This is his first time starting the full season. And you got Eric Fisher, who's a rookie who looked like a rookie to me in the preseason.
You know, that's an interesting topic. Eric Fisher and Luke Jokel. So let's do this. Let's take our first break of the night. When we come back, let's talk about the number one pick overall in the draft, Eric Fisher for Kansas City, and the number two overall pick, Luke Jokel for Jacksonville. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton, Tony Pacelli, Jeff Loggins, and Mark Brunell, our broadcast crew here for you. Before we get to the duel of the offensive tackles who will not face each other and break that one down, the Jaguars have something cool. I mean, it's opening day, lots of new things unveiled. They've got something cool. They've teamed up with a PGA Tour, and they're going to bring a tour player in here every Sunday, every home game, obviously. And he and Jackson DeVille are each going to take a shot from the sky patio to an island green at midfield.
Are they bringing water in, too, for the island green?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's coming in on a truck. But this week, PGA Tour professional David Lingmerth is going to get out there and hit the ball. And you're going to have to do it over the goalpost, I imagine, over the fans. That'll be a little different shot, David, won't it?
Yeah, it'll be a little different, don't you think?
Well, David, you played, obviously, in front of a lot of people before, had to finish second in the players this past year, the highest finish for a PGA Tour rookie. And so you're used to pressure. You're used to playing in front of a lot of people. This time it's going to be in front of about 65,000 people. And the pressure is, are you going to let the mascot beat you?
Yeah, I know. That would be something, wouldn't it? And I think I'm probably going to have the crowds against me, I feel like, because if he wins, everybody's going to get free pizza, right?
Yeah, so. Well, I think that's very true. And plus, you have the pressure of you have charity money on the line, and if you get a hole-in-one, one lucky fan gets $1 million. Now, you guys are used to hitting balls in pressure situation, but it's very quiet. In fact, your caddies will start screaming at people if anyone even takes a picture. I don't think it's going to be very quiet on Sunday.
Oh, it's going to be raucous.
How are you going to handle all the noise?
It's going to be a different crowd, and, you know, when we're out there playing, you know, even in front of the big crowds, it's, you know, we're in the zone, we're out there doing what we're doing, but this is going to be completely different with no warm-up or anything like that. So it's going to be, you know, all the attention on just this one shot. So, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'll probably be a little bit nervous, but it's going to be fun.
David, I can't believe they're going to let the mascot hit a golf ball. He'd better have liability insurance.
The mascot's a good player.
Yeah,
you know what?
Yeah,
you know what? I've seen him hit golf balls before in that suit, and he is a really good player. I'm going to have to hit a real good shot. I'm sure I have to do something great to beat him because he's good.
David, you're exactly right. We do a thing every year. I believe it's in March or April. Before the Players' Championship for charity, and he comes out in his costume against a lot of celebrities, some professional golfers, and often he doesn't get the closest, but he hits the Island Green at the Sawgrass Stadium course and beats a lot of us. I mean, he is a very good golfer. Now, what club are you going to use?
Yeah,
125-yard shot.
It's 125, but it's going to play like it's less because it's downhill, right, David?
That's what I hear. I hear it's downhill a little bit, so it'd probably play more like a 110-yard shot. And, you know, that would be like a gap wedge or sandwich for me, depending on what the wind is doing. I have to account for that, too. So
we'll see,
but probably like a gap wedge, 52-degree.
Now, are you bringing the whole bag, the caddy and everything, some grass to throw in the air to get the wind direction and everything?
I'm guessing I'm going to have to bring two clubs, but that'll probably be enough.
I've got one of them angle range compensating range finders, by the way. You want me to bring it for you on Sunday?
Will you please?
No, no, wait a second.
That's not a golf tournament. That's legal.
No, it's that's against USGA rules. You cannot have something that detects.
I bet hitting a shot over the fans is probably against PGA rules, too.
Well, he hits shots over the fans all the time. You see how close those guys, those fans are in PGA Tour events? Now, the difference is they're not screaming and yelling whatever they will yell at David.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have to try to get the fans real loud too right before our shot. So it'll be completely different, but it's going to be a fun event, I think. So I'm hoping a lot of people will tune in for it instead of going to buy hot dogs or something.
Now, I'm going to say a word that is like a four-letter word when it comes to golf, but
it's actually five now.
No, but it's a four-letter word in the golf world. Or you're not afraid to shank the ball now, are you? There's no shank that's a possible.
You know what? If I shank it, I'll be real embarrassed. But I think I've shanked probably one ball in the last however many years, probably 6-7 years. So I'm not too worried about shanking. I might not hit a great shot, but I probably won't shank it.
Hey, you're from Sweden. Has your time at West Florida and University of Arkansas made you an NFL fan? I mean, you've got a lot of pro golf fans in this building.
You know what? I'm going to throw something at you here now, because I'm probably one of the most, up there at least when it comes to being interested in NFL football, because my uncle was the first ever Swedish player to play in the NFL. So my family's been, a little bit more into football probably than many other Swedish families. So, yes, I love football, and I can't wait for it. Actually, it probably just started, right, the game tonight. So I'm going to tune in for that now, and, I'm excited for the football season.
Well, Dave, we're all excited. It's a great event. All the money goes to charity. I, for one, hope you hit a hole-in-one and give somebody $1 million. It would be a lot of fun to see that. And just for all of our sake around here.
Yeah, please. Please
do not let the mascot beat you, because if he beats you, forget about the free pizza. Forget about the shame you're going to have when you go back on the tour and have to see the fellow players. We will hear about it forever.
No, I want to see, David, I want to see when you're like practice swinging, just make sure your backswing hits Jackson right in the nose.
Yeah, I'm also a little curious to see who's going to go first. Is it me or him? Who's going to have the pressure on the second shot there? It's going to be fun. We'll see what happens.
Well, whatever you want to do, hey, if you want to go first, just step up there and push him out of the way. No one's going to say anything.
You get a
raucous
cheer. All right,
we'll see. I'll have to pull a trick on him, I guess.
All right. Well, David, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us, and we're all excited.
All right, I'm excited too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, David. David Lingmuirth, PGA Tour professional, a rookie on the tour this year, as you heard Tony mention, finished second at the Players, and he will be here for the halftime festivities on Sunday against Kansas City. All right, to the offensive tackles. We started with the quarterback and the quarterback. Let's talk about the tackles.
No, I want to hear Mark's assessment of the tackles.
Okay.
I think they're pretty good. I think they'll be just fine.
I watched two preseason games on the coach's tape of Eric Fisher. Obviously, we've watched all the games of Luke Jokel, the three games he played in, and I didn't watch enough of them both in college to know exactly why Kansas City chose Eric Fisher first, but from the game tape I've seen so far, it's not really even close. I mean, Luke Jokel is a more polished offensive tackle. He is smoother, he's more explosive than Eric Fisher. Eric Fisher, I think he's gonna be a good player. He has the size, he's long. He is athletic. He looks a little herky-jerky. That was Jeff's description. I agree with it 100%. But Luke's better right now. Luke looks like a better player at this point of the career. Now, listen, it's just the first preseason. They have long careers ahead of them. We'll see how this thing plays out. But if I was judging on who got the better player at this point, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I watched both of those guys right around the draft time, a little bit of each one. And I said to you, Brian, at the time that I thought that Luke Jokel was much smoother, more polished, more patient in his sets. I thought he's just a better overall player. And I watched every snap that Eric Fisher took in the preseason. And I use that description, herky-jerky. His hands aren't very good.
Terrible hands.
And I always kind of look at it. I mean, it's kind of hard to break a habit. I mean, when you watch an offensive tackle, my mindset is, how can I beat this guy? I mean, you still kind of have a little bit of that mentality. And if I had a choice between facing one of those two guys, I'd take Eric Fisher all day long. Him as the guy I'm going against, which means I would pick Luke Jokel if I were a general manager picking a team.
You know, I heard the story.
That's because Eric Fisher gives his chest up every dang play.
His hands are sloppy. He's very strong and he's competitive.
Very competitive.
I give him that.
He plays hard.
But he loses a lot of his strength because his hands aren't very clean. And he's just not as smooth as Luke.
So it sounds as if you're saying that the Jaguars at number two had a gift from Kansas City when Kansas City took Fisher and the Jaguars got Jokel.
I wouldn't say it's a gift because you get what you earn.
True.
You know, and they did their work.
Well, it's a gift in the sense that they had no control who Kansas City was taking.
That's kind of where I meant
with it. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think if you gave truth serum to Gus and Dave and all the scouts and everyone involved in that.
Well, Dave's already said.
They were doing backflips.
Dave said that in the interview with Shad Khan.
He said that that was the guy he would pick when he was in his interview.
My point is, even before the draft, I mean, a lot of teams say things afterwards, say, oh, that's the guy we always wanted.
Right.
Whether that's true or not. I think in this case, it is 100% true. When Kansas City picked Eric Fisher, I think that room immediately looked at each other with big smiles and said, we got the best player in the draft.
And he is a terrific player. And, you know, you said something in the Philadelphia game that I wanted to touch back on. Your eyes lit up because he did something. What did he do? Drop his hips or slide or something that
sat down
on
the bowl
that you can't teach.
Well, what he did was he, and I can't remember who the defensive player was, but he.
Trent Cole.
Was it Trent Cole?
Yeah, because you were impressed with the way
it was a wide rush. He got off balance. Trent got him off balance on a move and started to bowl him. And a lot of times, players that aren't as good will just get bowled right back to the quarterback because they're off balance. They don't have their hips aren't underneath them. They're not in a position of strength. Immediately, Luke was able to recover, get his feet back underneath him, and stop the bull rush. Now, that's something you can't teach. You either are athletic enough to do it, to drop your hips and get in that position and play with power when you're off balance, get from off balance to inbounds immediately, or you can't. And Luke can do it.
And he does it under control, whereas when you watch Eric Fisher try to get that power back, it's just not smooth.
It's herky-jerky.
When I watched him on tape, that was the first term that came to my mind, herky-jerky.
So what do you think of the matchup? Because you know you're going to see Tom Bahali over there. You know, what do you think of the matchup with Tom Bahali against Luke Jokel?
Here's the flip side. Luke has a much harder job on Sunday afternoon than Eric Fisher does.
Yes.
Just because Tom Bahali is one of the premier rushers in the NFL.
Justin Houston, also good player.
He's good, but Tom Bahali is really good. And it's going to be a very tough matchup for his first NFL start. And my guess is Tomba's going to want to get over there as soon as he can and test the rookie.
So how does he fare?
Well, I think Luke will be fine because as long as Luke – in the midst of the game, when something goes wrong, doesn't panic and try to do something, you know, try to change what he does and what got him here instead of just trusting his technique. He's going to have moments where I'm not saying Tomba's going to get a sack, but Tomba's going to get him off balance. He's going to put a nice move on him because that's what great pass rushers do. In that moment, he has to put that play behind him, go back to his technique, go back to what made him makes him a very good offensive tackle, and continue to do that and get back to his game, and he'll be fine.
You mentioned
Tomba switches sides now. I mean, not a ton. He's a better right side pass rusher, but in the –
But, Jeff, you know as well as I do.
Well, in the Pittsburgh game, he had I think it was about 7 or 8 snaps where he went and rushed from the left side. You know, so I would not be surprised. And here's the interesting thing. How will Kansas City view it? You know, will they take Tomba Hali and put him over there against Luke Jokel because maybe they got a point to prove? You know, we want to get our best guy against the guy that we didn't take so that we can make their guy look bad.
Well, and my guess is, and Jeff could speak to this maybe better than I can, but the really good pass rushers pretty much have free reign to go to what side they want where they feel like they can get a rush.
Some guys can do that. Not all can.
Opening day last year, all we did was talk about Eugene Monroe and Jared Allen, right?
Yeah.
And we haven't even mentioned Eugene Monroe.
Well, and Eugene played very well that game.
Oh, yeah.
Tomba Hali is
the best game of the year last year.
Yeah.
Tomba Hali is a better pass rusher than Jared Allen.
Which is why they traded Jared Allen. They had the two of them together, and they traded Jared Allen to Minnesota for a couple of first-round picks.
Could we talk more about offensive line? Maybe spend another 15 minutes talking about the offensive. Are you kidding me? I'm apologize to all the listeners out there.
All right, well, we'll come back.
Oh, sorry. Let's talk about the thumb.
Waste of radio.
Or maybe Santa Fe Alachua or whatever.
Jaguars Thursday, folks, with a little attitude on opening week. We're back after the news here at the bottom of the hour on Jaguars Radio. All right, about 25 more minutes of Jaguars Thursday. Mark Brunell, Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, and Brian Sexton with you here this evening. You can join us, 355-NFL-1. You know, looking at the card and the matchups, the thing that stands out to me is they've got Cecil Shorts, who had 55 catches last year, averaged 17.8 per catch to lead the NFL. Then they've got Ace Sanders, who wasn't in the NFL, and Mike Brown, who was on the practice squad last year, so no receptions. Then they've got Stephen Burton, who, you know, last year caught five passes, is the fifth receiver for Minnesota. Then you've got Mercedes Lewis, who had 52 catches last year, but he may or may not play with the calf. And then you got Allen Reisner, who had nothing last year. So if you
take advantage, Chiefs.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, sure seems that way.
Well, you're a great analyst. I mean, no wonder they pay you the big bucks.
Exactly.
There's no one to throw to.
Here, what's the greatest equalizer given those circumstances?
Maurice Jones-Drew.
The ability to run the football.
But that's not going to be an easy task if you look at the front seven of the Chiefs. I mean, DeVito's a very good player. DeAndre Poe, the reports out of Kansas City was he was unblockable. I watched the tape. I did not see that.
I didn't either.
But he's a good player. Tyson Jackson's another but he's a solid player.
And overdrafted, though.
Well, that's fine. But you got Derek Johnson, a very good middle linebacker.
Really good player.
You have Tom Bawley. You have Justin Houston, two very good outside linebackers. Akeem Jordan, he's a guy. I mean, that's a good front seven. Mm-hmm. And they like to drop – they play a lot of single high safety as well, and they like to drop that eighth man in the box.
Yeah, Eric Berry likes to live in the box.
And Eric Berry is a very good player. So they're going to drop Eric Berry down, and they're going to say – because they know what you just said, Brian. The inexperience and the injuries and the suspensions have put this team in a position where they don't have a lot of depth or experience outside. And so with – whether it's Blaine or Chad, you know, they're going to say, if you can throw the ball against us – you're going to beat us. And that's going to be the matchup that is going to be we're going to be watching closely.
Hey, I'm not a quarterback, but if I were, Mark, I'd want a nice running game with a quick passing game, especially if I got a quarterback with a thumb.
No question. And what you need Mercedes. You need a tight end. It's okay if you've just got Cecil out there and he's the only one with experience, but you've got to have a tight end. I mean, you need more than one guy to throw to.
Well, did Reisner show you anything in the preseason?
Yeah,
catching those touchdown passes.
Solid.
He's solid, very athletic.
He's not a starter.
Right. I don't think they're going to.
You know, and here's the biggest thing that you miss not having Mercedes is another offensive line quality blocker, if not better than most offensive linemen. He's that good.
Right.
You know, and if you're going to get your running game going, it would be nice to have him.
And then you look at the secondary of the Chiefs. I mean, Brandon Flowers is a very good corner. Sean Smith is the free agent out of Miami. He's a good. He's not as good as Brandon Flowers, but he's a good solid corner. Eric Berry is a Pro Bowl safety, and then Kendrick Lewis is a good. I mean,
good player.
Good player, but you look at this defense. It's going to be a challenge for the Jaguars' offense and Jed Fish to call plays, understand what he has outside, and then depending on who the quarterback is, what he's comfortable calling back play wise, especially in the pass game.
Advantage Chiefs.
So you probably didn't think that Jed Fish was going to have to be ultra-creative the first game out of the shoot, did you?
Well, it would be nice if he had all of his parts. You know, Mercedes, a healthy quarterback, you know, Justin Blackmon, but that's kind of what they've dealt with all preseason. You know, and as we saw in the preseason, they didn't score a ton of points with that first group. You know, so defense,
outside of Philly, and yeah. Philly's defense is not very good. We talked about that during the preseason.
The defense is going to have to be able to make it an even matchup. That's the real key to this game, because Kansas City never has found their groove in the preseason as an offense. And I think that they can control Jamaal Charles. If they can do that, they've got a chance.
Yeah, because then you look at our defense against their offense. Brandon Albert's a very good left tackle. He's an extremely good pass blocker. After that, they're inexperienced. They're young. Rodney Hudson is a good center. I agree with Jeff there. But, you know, he's young, second-year player. I mean, so our front seven should be able to have a good day against them, getting after the passer a little bit, controlling the run. And then outside of Dwayne Bowe, they don't have anybody who's going to scare you. I mean, Donnie Avery, I mean, are you losing sleep if you're Alan Ball or Dwayne Grotz about covering him? No.
I don't think you're losing any sleep over Dwayne Bowe. That's for sure.
He's a pretty good player, though.
Good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But do they have the quarterback that can – get him the ball. Mark, what do you think about Alex Smith?
You know what? Obviously, he had a good year last year until he was replaced. I think he's solid.
He's a manager, isn't he?
He's a manager. He's well coached. He can make the throws. he finally got on track after a rough start the first few years. I think he's going to be fine, but I think he's more of a manager than anything else. I think he'll make good decisions. I don't think he's going to give it away, especially in this first game. And he's in a good system, so yeah, I think he's a good quarterback. He's solid.
He's got some mobility too.
He'll run around a little bit.
He's athletic. Watch with him. He can run around.
And I think the defense has to come out with the mindset we need to hold this team to 17 or less, knowing that what we have outside, the inexperience. Now, listen, Ace could come out and do the exact same thing he's done all preseason and be outstanding, and that's what everyone's hoping.
Right.
But if you look at this game on paper in the matchups, you would hope that our defense could hold the Kansas City Chiefs to 17 or less and give the offense a chance to, stay in the game and make some plays and get a W.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We got a full slate of games to go through for the weekend, so let's break now. We'll come back and run it to the top of the hour with a look around the NFL in Week 1.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, NFL season 2013, Week 1, tonight, the Ravens at the Broncos. Guys, let's start with this one. It should be fun.
I think that's about as good of a matchup as you can get. It's a shame that the Ravens aren't at home because of the conflict with the Orioles baseball game. But it doesn't get any better than this. The Super Bowl champions against the Peyton Manning-led Broncos, and from all reports out of Denver, Peyton Manning has his strength back better than ever. And if that's the case, I look forward to watching the game tonight, because if he is on, they are no doubt a Super Bowl contending team.
Despite the fact that they've lost pass rushers and Champ Bailey, at least this week.
For a little while. But as far as the Jaguars go in that game, former Jaguars in the starting lineup. Darryl Smith, who I wish they had kept here because I think he's a fantastic player, is in the starting lineup replacing Ray Lewis. And then Terrence Knight in the old pot roast is in the starting lineup for the Denver Broncos tonight.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They have him number one nose tackle on the depth chart.
So we're talking about Peyton Manning, but Joe Flacco was the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, it's going to be a good football game. High-scoring game, two real good quarterbacks, obviously. It's good. I mean, it's a great game for kickoff.
Of all the years you watched Peyton Manning, what amazed you the most?
Obviously he's more than a manager. I mean, he's one of the best, if not the best in the business. And just his competitiveness, week in, week out, and of course he's legendary as far as his preparation is concerned, but I mean he approaches every game like a professional, and he works hard at it. He's got all the Pro Bowls, and he's got a Super Bowl. But he still attacks each season as if it's his first one.
I'll never forget, when he was with the Colts and we got a chance to see him twice a year for all those years. The way that he would go through his pregame warm-up routine, it was the same every week. Proven star. He was still out there with Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. And then obviously when Marvin was gone, he continued to do it with his other guys, including Reggie Wayne. But the amount of precision that he ran his own individual pregame warm-up, I'm not talking about the team warm-up, this was before they even came out as teams to warm up, on his own, was impressive.
He throws 40 balls full speed before a game. You get some quarterbacks, they'll toss it around a little bit and warm up a little. He is full speed. I mean, he's throwing the ball down the field. It's not just warm-up. I mean, he is working on his game, and that's always been impressive. I mean, every game he gets out there pregame, and it's a full workout. It's impressive.
What do you think of Flacco?
He obviously made some big plays last year, Super Bowl champion, all that stuff. I think he's more than a manager, but he makes good decisions. He'll make the throws when he needs to make them. Obviously he's benefited from that defense, which is every quarterback's dream. But he's a solid quarterback. I don't think he's nowhere, and you guys would agree with this, he's not in Peyton's league.
No.
I wouldn't even say he's a top five.
Well, I think he's right there. And I disagree about the defense last year. That defense was not very good last year.
Terrible.
If you look at it on paper, they were the middle. At one point, they were in the bottom half of the league. And they were a sieve when it came to stopping the run. They couldn't stop anybody. And Joe Flacco was the reason they won the Super Bowl. Joe Flacco was the reason they got through the playoffs in that offense. It was not the defense. Now, Mark, you're right. In the early part of his career, he benefited greatly. They had one of the best defenses in the NFL. Last year, that was not the case. Now, everyone thought it was because of the names.
Because Ray Lewis was still
there. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs. But Terrell Suggs was out for most of the season and came back and was not the same guy.
Did he have a torn bicep?
No, torn Achilles.
Achilles. Came back, that's right.
And he was not the same guy. He was a good player, but not dominant like he had been in years past. So I think Joe Flacco, while he is not Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, he is the top, at the top of the next level of quarterbacks, and I think he is very, very good.
All right, so that's tonight. Anybody care to wager? Not wager. Lay out a bet.
Oh, wait, that's bad.
On who's going to win?
Yeah, lay out a prediction.
I like Baltimore. No. I think Denver's defense, if you talk to people up in Mile High, they're concerned about the defense, concerned that they're going to be able to stop people. No Von Miller. Elvis Dumervil is no longer on the team.
He's now in Baltimore.
He's in Baltimore. Where's the pass rush going to come from? Champ Bailey's still there, but he is another
year. He's not
playing. And he's another year older, even if he was playing. And so they have issues outside. Listen, Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, and they're going to be very good. They're going to score points. But just like we said, this was going to be a low-scoring affair here Sunday. I see a lot of points on the field tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one to pick for me because, you know, the Ravens, I think, got something to prove. You know, even though they won a Super Bowl, they still feel like they have something to prove. And Peyton Manning is back to full strength. You know, I just like the home field advantage in Denver. I'm going to go with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I'm going to agree on that one, especially the home field advantage. And considering how the season ended last year for the Broncos, this is Peyton's game.
Now, Mark, if we're wrong, we're not going to hear the end of it.
Oh, that's fine. No, well, he'll forget about it next week.
Things even out over the course of the season. Yeah. He'll talk about it Monday, you can be sure. All right, so some of these will be no-brainers, and some will require more.
Me and you will be getting texts tonight midnight.
No question.
Told you.
No, I'm hoping I can stay awake long enough. It'll be a struggle, though, there in the fourth quarter.
Here you go, Patriots at Bills.
Come on.
I know. That's why I said some will be easy. Here's one, Titans at Steelers. Are you Titans believers?
No, I'm
not. Do you think
this is a team that – I don't think they're going to be very good.
All right. Falcons at Saints. This should be a fun one on Sunday.
That's just as good. That's just as good.
I think it's going to be an outstanding game, and I think the Falcons are going to win the NFC South, but I think New Orleans wins this game. First game back, Sean Payton, a lot of emotion. That team's going to be riding high. Tough place to play there in New Orleans. I just think New Orleans gets his first win. I think Atlanta comes back and wins the division, but I think they win opening day.
Falcons will get this one.
I'm with Tony on this one. I'm going with the Saints. I think Drew Brees and the head coach being back together again creates a lot of energy.
He has no idea.
I'm an NFL analyst.
No idea.
You're crazy.
What do you think about having Peyton back on the line, you know, on the sideline? What does that mean?
Obviously, it's a boost of confidence. The band is back together, and I don't think it's enough to call a game. I think the Falcons are a better football team, even at the Saints.
Neither defense is very good, I'll tell you.
I was just about to ask you if one had an advantage over the other.
Neither's very good, I don't think.
I like Atlanta's defense. I think they're okay.
Tell me, where's the pass rush going to come from?
Well, you got Osi.
Where's back. He's back.
I like their defensive tackles. I think they're pretty good players.
All right.
Did you see Geno Smith's comments about Darrelle Revis?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Geno basically said he didn't pay any attention to
him. The Buccaneers are going to eat him alive.
The Buccaneers in New York to take on the Jets.
That will be a 17-21 point victory for Tampa Bay.
Agree.
Yeah. No question.
All right. So
we all agree on one.
Yeah, we agree on one.
The Seahawks come all the way across the country to face the Panthers.
I'm not a believer in Cam Newton. I'm just rolling it out there again.
He got elected as team captain.
Oh, that, yeah. So did Santonio Holmes. There you have it.
I like Seattle.
Excuse me. He didn't get elected. He was appointed. Yeah. So I stand corrected.
Is Seattle as good as people think they are?
I think
they're ready
very
to contend.
Good. Yes.
I love the way Russell Wilson plays the game. He's just so calm and cool.
And their defense is really good.
Yeah, defense is real good. Although they're not even healthy yet on defense. Clemens not 100%, but they play good defense.
You like Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
I do. I think I don't think he'll have the same year he had last year. I think defenses will find a way to calm him down, neutralize him a little bit, but I do like him.
Here's a pretty good matchup. Bengals at Soldier Field to take on the Bears.
Bengals. Bengals are going to be one of the best teams in the AFC this year.
Bears are going to beat them.
Yeah.
Cutler's going to come alive, and he's going to tear up the Bengals.
Not a big
believer. What are you talking about?
Write it down.
There's no way. That Bengals defense is one of the best defenses.
Hey, this is the opener. You know, you throw all that out, it's opener.
We really struggled in going to Chicago for the opener. I mean, besides Jeff tearing his bicep tendon, everyone else had a good day.
Play number four. Bye-bye, bicep.
Dolphins at the Browns.
Fins.
Yeah.
Browns got a long way to go.
I don't know. Listen, Tannehill, I think he's a good player, but Mike Walls, I think, will be go down as the worst free agent signing of the year.
Ooh.
And Browns are very talented. I actually think that game comes down to which quarterback, whether it's Weeden or Tannehill, plays better.
Here's one, and this really is interesting. Vikings at the Lions, a team last year that rose against expectations and one that fell despite expectations.
That's a tough one to pick.
Mm.
I think Adrian Peterson will run through that defense because I don't know how good they are.
We all agree, Vikings.
Well, they're big up front, though.
Yeah.
Why in the world can't they get any discipline in Detroit?
Some people say the head coach.
I mean, the power of the Schwartz just ain't working.
Well, you got Dobbik and Sue, and you've got Nick Fairley. I mean, you got two big guys inside. You would think that they would be able to
stop. They're not very good
run
on the back half, I know that.
Yeah, they certainly weren't last year. They've got Rasheen Mathis playing for them now. I mean, they went and pulled a guy off the street. You know who
is he starting?
He was in the preseason finale.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not that that's going to help with the run, but
no,
you talked about the back end, and they needed help. They were terrible last year.
I think all of us in here would agree we're all big Rasheen Mathis fans. We hope he has a great year.
I hope he does, too.
Yep. I hope he has a great year.
Raiders at Colts.
Colts.
These two teams played in the playoffs, and they also played on opening day last year, except they played in Green Bay. But this year, the Packers are going to San Francisco.
Co-game of the week. I mean, tonight's game and then Green Bay at San Francisco, that is a great matchup.
I like San Fran.
Packers.
I think they're more physical up front. No Brian Bulaga, Alden Smith, Justin Smith. It was interesting watching the Chiefs San Francisco game. Now they only played two series.
I think Justin Smith
is back to
his back.
He's back to his power. After
he and I did not watch that film together.
Yeah.
And he said exactly what I thought, and that Justin Smith is back being all man.
And the reason we say that is because when he tore his bicep at the end of last year, he was not the same guy, and the defense wasn't the same defense. Alden Smith gets a lot of the sacks off of Justin Smith disrupting everything. And watching the two series he played in, I mean, he looks like he has the power back and the strength. And with him in there, that defensive front is – man, they're tough.
That's one of the great free agent acquisitions that there is. I mean, when Justin left Cincinnati, did he have any fanfare?
No.
I mean, nothing.
Right.
I mean,
he was a bust as a fourth overall.
He could have gone anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, anybody could have went and got him.
Could have come right here.
Yeah.
Cardinals at the Rams. That one still sounds funny to me. The Cardinals going back to St. Louis.
I like the Rams. I like the Rams this year because I think their defense is outstanding. They have one of the best front four defensive lines in the NFL. They're very good at rushing the passer.
What about their young
quarterback? I think Bradfield's a pretty good
Sam Bradford?
Sam Bradford. I was thinking Cameron Bradfield, but Sam Bradford.
Malloy, Mallory.
I'm not much on Bradford, and I'm definitely not much on Carson Palmer.
But you like that St. Louis front seven.
I like them. Yeah, their defense.
They're really good.
Absolutely. I think they're very talented.
So here you go. Sunday Night Football. The Giants at the Cowboys.
Oh, that's easy. Late pick by Romo. Giants win. Right?
I will agree.
Right? It'll be a good game.
Now, if I would have said the Giants are going to win, he would have said the Cowboys.
Not on this one. Not on this one. Write it down.
I don't know, man. Jerry Jones said he's found the secret sauce.
He has the mind of a 40-year-old.
And the body of a 112-year-old.
Is that what the secret sauce was?
He said. Oh, God. The story is he went to his doctor, and his doctor said, if I would have looked at your MRI or CAT scan, whatever he took, and just looked at it, not knowing whose brain I was looking at, I would have said you had the brain of a 40-year-old. And Jerry Jones ran with that, and it was a front.
But he told everybody.
He couldn't find a reporter fast enough on that one.
He told everybody. And so, hey, you got mind of a 40-year-old. He's had reportedly some plastic surgery to help the looks.
I'm going to go the opposite. So who are you picking?
I got the Giants.
You got the Giants.
I think the Cowboys are undisciplined, and I think Romo's a good quarterback, but he just for whatever reason, makes mistakes at the end of games that cost his team victories.
All right, well, I'm going to go against both of you guys.
Any reason why?
I'm going with the Cowboys because if Jerry is saying it, I believe
it. For that reason alone.
You have the mind of a 40-year-old.
Hey, I'm rooting for Monty Kiffin. You know, of all the coaches I've had an experience with
great
in the
coach.
National
great
Football
guy.
League, one of the great coaches there has ever been in the National Football League, and he was a joy to be around the few years that I was around him in New York.
Great guy.
And that guy can flat-out coach defense.
Two games on Monday night, Eagles at Redskins.
I think it's a good game. I'm excited to see RG3.
Yeah, that's the Redskins.
And Michael Vick and Chip Kelly's offense.
I'm more excited to see RG3 because I think he is – if he can stay healthy, he's going to be a special player for a
I'm
long
going
time.
With the Eagles.
Why? They can't stop anybody, Jeff.
It's just one of those games where I think Michael Vick can still do special things. With
I don't know. That defensive line for the I watched one preseason game. Kerrigan, I mean.
Good player.
Whew. Texans at Chargers.
Texans.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Jaguars Thursday is in the books. Jaguars take on the Chiefs Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff right here on News Talk, WOKB, the Public's Tailgate Show, begins our coverage at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you Sunday for opening day.